What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 52 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled Distinctly Divine. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 and 26, and verses 28 and 29 read as follows. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Our text for today is from Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. When studying Scripture, the biblical context is key to discovering the proper interpretation and application of the text. Thus, to better understand Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8, we need to discover the section within which it is located in God's Word. Many scholars place today's scripture within a section of Isaiah that begins in Isaiah 43, verse 22, and concludes in Isaiah 44, 23. This entire section focuses on the way to revival with God. The authors of Preaching the Word commentary outlined this section as follows. Isaiah helps us to think through seeking revival with a fourfold line of reasoning. First, the problem, our guilty boredom. That's found in 43 verses 22 through 28. It includes phrases such as, "You have been weary of me," in verse 22. "I have not wearied you," in verse 23. "You have wearied me," in verse 24. "I blot out your transgressions," in 25 through 28. Second, the remedy, God's spiritual refreshment. That's found in chapter 44, verses 1 through 5. Refreshment by God's Spirit alone, in verses 1 through 3, and enthusiasm for God's name alone in verses 4 and 5. Third, the reason, the exclusive reality of God. That's found in chapter 44, verses 6 through 20. The Lord and his people in verses 6 through 8. The idols and their people in verses 9 through 20, pointing out that idols cannot rise above their makers in verses 9 through 13. Idols cannot rise above their materials in verses 14 through 17. And idols cannot undeceive human hearts in verses 18 through 20. And then the outcome, the universal awakening, found in verses 21 through 23. In verse 21, remember. In verse 22, return. In verse 23, worship. These authors provide the following summary for Isaiah 43, verse 22, through 44, verse 23. And the point of it all is that we would become living proof that God outperforms all the idols, that He really is as good as He says He is. Therefore, Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8 focuses on God's divine distinction over everything, including idols. No one can compare to God's greatness. In fact, if you added the strength of everyone who ever existed, the total power would still be nothing compared to the power of Almighty God. In addition, this matchless God desires a relationship with His creation. Perhaps John Oswalt's words will leave you in awe that this incomparable God seeks a relationship with you. Yahweh declares His absolute uniqueness, but He first identifies Himself inextricably with Israel. Although He is the only God, the first and the last, He is also the one who has made Himself known in the context of a relationship with a small, insignificant people. The gods cannot explain why He has done this, nor where the relationship is going to go in the future, but God has. And the people of Israel are witnesses to that fact. In an always changing, unstable world, there is one who does not change, a rock to which beaten, battered people may cling. Some questions to consider. How does the context of Isaiah 44, 6 through 8 help you understand the depth of Isaiah's message? How is personal revival predicated on understanding God's matchless power? And finally, what does God's distinct divinity mean to you as you are maturing as His disciple? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.